My original series title for this was Adult, Becoming Christian Adults. You guys who are, in most cultures, you turn 14 and they consider you an adult, 13, 14, 15, and there. Our culture, we probably don't start really feeling like adults till, 27, 28, right? Looking at ourselves that way, but you are. That's what you are. You are an adult. And so that was part of my onus for that. Now, Jim made it sound sharp and cool and called it teleos and this cool Greek word and all this cool stuff. But the basic principle is becoming adults in Christ. We've talked about some great concepts so far. The first concept was it's not about you, it's about God. And I'm so thankful for the way Jim started this, right? Surprisingly, your growth, our growth into maturity in Christ, which is what we're talking about, our striving towards this teleos, this completion in Christ that we've been talking about, is not about you. It is not about me, and it is not about us. But this whole thing is about God. And this is a great way to start, because what's our first inclination? Okay, God, I've got to become more Christ-like. I've got to become more mature. What do I do? What do I do to get this done and to complete this? And that's usually our first question. But it's not necessarily the first question that we should come to. And I'm going to flip-flop. I don't know why that says 1, 3, 4. That would be my bad, I'm sure. I sent that to Brandon that way. Number two, also known as number three, is that God deserves our worship. Now, I flip-flop that. If you've been here through the whole series, you know that we did what's listed as number four, number two, and then we did number three as number three. But number three should be number two, and number four should be number three, right? That was only because we flip-flopped that because Bruce, who we really wanted to speak, was only available that one particular weekend. But I think the second thought, or the third thought, is that God deserves our worship, right? It's not about you. Why? Because God deserves our worship, because that is the overarching theme of our life with Christ. And we are to live in and under the kingdom of God and to give glory to God through the things that we do. Okay, the third thought, and I will reference it as that now, is that we can serve God through the things that we do. As we come to completion, we talk specifically about finances, right, and money, and honoring God, because, boy, that is a real trap we can get into, especially here in America, right? Even this room, I'm meeting, and I know of a lot of people that grew up in much different cultures than we grew up here, and we get immersed in the culture and we just start living and acting like the culture around us. And sometimes that can be good and sometimes that can be really difficult. We have to be careful with how we use our money, but it's not just that. It's the other things we do, right? By giving our time, as we serve, as we show love to the people around us, as we share the good news of Jesus with the people around us, as we do these things, right, we become more in completion, more like this teleos, this fullness of a life with Jesus. And we're going to stop right there before we go on to today's point, because it's Bible trivia time, okay? You guys ready? You guys ready? Some of you guys grew up in private Christian schools where they did sword drills, and it was like, they say the verse, and you got to find it in the Bible really fast, right? This is kind of the reverse of that. When I say to you Galatians 5, those of you guys who are immersed in this, and if you're not, don't worry. It takes a long time to get immersed in this scripture. It happens over time. But if you've been immersed in it all your life, what do you think of when you think of Galatians 5? Anybody? Fruits of the Spirit. All right. Good job. Gold stars for everybody who opened up their mouths. Who can, you like that, gold stars? Who can name the fruits of the Spirit? Anybody? Somebody give me a hand. Give me a hand. Bam. Oh, he forgot one. What did he forget? Faithfulness. Oh, whoa. Don't cover the microphone when you're talking loud. Should have learned that one by now and learned that from Steve last week, who coughed in the microphone the whole time. When he was sick, poor guy. Yes, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? These are the fruits of the Spirit. And it's a great passage for us. Why? Because many of us like checklists, right? How many of you just live by your to-do list, you feel? Okay, I got some hands. Yep. And there's probably more hands that are like, I don't really want to say this, but yeah, I kind of do. If I check things off my list, right, I feel like I've accomplished something. Okay? What did I accomplish for my school goals today? Finish homework. Check. It was at 2 a.m., but I did it, right? Check. Study for test. Check. Go to study session. Check. Yes, I have officially completed my work today, and I feel good, and everything is right with the world, right? I was successful today. Walk with God. Did I read my Bible today? Check. Did I pray today? Check. Did I love people today? Of course I did. Check. Did I show joy? Look at this face. Check. Peace. Check. I must have worshiped God and been in the Spirit today, right? Because I checked all those wonderful good things off my list. But then there's the flip side days. There's those days where you're like going across that list and you're like, oh, patience. Ooh, wasn't very patient with my professor today. I wasn't very patient with my kids today. That one's often the one for me. Got frustrated with them. Man, I must not have been walking in the Spirit today. We like checklists because they're concrete, they're easy to define, especially a lot of us who either started as or continued on as engineers. It's like, I did it. I must be walking in the Spirit. And Galatians 5 has another checklist as well. We talk about this one a little bit less, but it's the works of the flesh, right? Or the acts of the flesh. Let's read this passage. I'll read it out for us. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Log that away, because we're going to come back to that. We're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the other Galatians 5 list, right? The don't to do's, if you will, right? Don't to do them. These are the works of the flesh. And we add another part to our story of becoming like Christ and getting more to that teleos. And we add this. Let's go to the next slide. Right? 4/5. We serve God through what we don't do and how we don't live, okay? And a lot of people kind of assume that this is how we define ourselves. If you ask someone on the street, many would say this is what defines Christians, what we don't do. We try to avoid the bad things, right? We try not to have sex before marriage. They try to avoid doing these bad things, right? But that's what I've loved about the flow of this series. It's not about us, right? God deserves our worship, and this is all about God. We can serve God by what we do, and we can serve God by what we don't do. This is not what fully defines us. We are not fully defined by the sins we don't do. But that is a part of it, right? That is a part of our life with God. Maybe not of what defines us, but that is a part of our walk with God. The things we do and the things we don't do. But is this the final point of Galatians? Okay, this is Galatians 5. It's near, you know, if you follow literature, you would think that would be about the apex. And then, you know, chapter 6 would be the denouement, if you will, right? The ending as he wraps it up. So you would think like this would be the apex of what we're getting at. And it is and it isn't. It's not necessarily Galatians isn't moving us forward to this big to-do checklist and this big to-don't-do checklist. And one of the things we say about the Bible is to understand it, we have to understand its context. So rather than just grabbing this section of Galatians 5 here, what we're going to do is we are going to roll through the Bible really quick. And by the Bible, I mean we're going to roll through Galatians really quick. So if you have a Bible with you, it could be helpful during this time. If not, all these are going to be on the board. They're not inside your bulletin because there's so many of them. There just wasn't room for it. Hold on to your hats. We're going to fly backwards through Galatians to get some key points and ideas. Then we're going to go forward back through Galatians again, outline it a little bit, and then we're going to talk about what we conclude. You guys ready? All right, let's do it. We're going to go backwards a little bit to Galatians 5:13. We're not going too far back. 5:13 through 15. For you were called to freedom. Okay, so here's a big key word. And the more you go through Galatians, the more you read the scripture, the more you'll realize where the key words are. But I'll just point that out. We're called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Okay, so we're called to freedom. So there's some key words we hear. Love. We hear serve. We hear freedom, and that freedom is not an opportunity for the flesh. Okay, so he was just talking about the freedom from the flesh, and then what we hit was, we hit the acts of the flesh. Okay, so somehow that's related to our freedom. Let's go backwards a little more. Let's go to Galatians 4, 6 through 7. 4, 6 and 7. Depending on your font size, you may not even have to turn the page. Galatians 4, 6, and 7. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So he's contrasting, right? Slave and free. You have been a slave to the flesh. To the flesh, and you are now free, right? But you're not just free. God actually sees you as His sons and His daughters, right? So you've not just been like, you've been under this yoke of slavery, and now you've been freed from it, but you've actually been given this sonship, this daughtership of being a son or daughter of God. Let's back up a little more to Galatians 3, 1 through 3. And we see that Paul is really frustrated about something. Sometimes Paul gets a little frustrated. And he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" So what's he frustrated about? Okay, he's frustrated about the law. Okay, now, I'm going to back up for a second. This is what I often do when I'm looking at a passage, right? I look at the passage, I'm like, okay, well, where did this come from? Oh, it came from freedom, right? Okay, well, where did that come from? Oh, well, Paul is telling us we're free from the yoke of slavery to sin and that we're sons and daughters of God. That's great. Where did that yoke of slavery to sin come from? Well, it partially came from this law, right? It's not what gave us that yoke, but the fact that we couldn't follow this law that we're about to read about kept us in slavery because no one could fully follow it, right? And this is talking about the Old Testament law and then some of the laws that were added to that by Jewish priests and things along that way. So here we go. So let's read about the law in Galatians 2, 14 through 21. This will all make sense as we fast forward, but I want you to see it twice. The law, Galatians 2, starting in verse 14. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth, he's talking to some of the Christian leaders, their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before all of them, if you, though a Jew, so Cephas was a Jew who became a Christian, right? Live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Okay, so what they were doing is they were making all these Christians who had not been born as Jews go back and get circumcised, right? Which was not good news, right? That was not the gospel for those Gentiles. Especially those Gentile men. So they were going back and forcing this kind of back on them, right? Even though they were telling them, hey, you're freed from some of these laws, right? You're freed from this through Christ. They were still giving them this yoke of having to go back and doing this. So he's challenging these leaders. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by the works of the law that they were making them go back and do, but through faith in Jesus. Ah, now we're starting to get somewhere, right? Where's this whole thing been coming from? This idea that we're not justified through our works, through these things that we've done, but through our faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. You scroll down a little there to verse 20. This is the first verse I ever memorized. Now, that was some 22 years ago, so it's a little rusty right now. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, right? But it is Christ that lives in me. And the life I live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Okay, so we have this law that they were being freed from, right? All of those Old Testament laws that you read, right? They're experiencing some semblance of freedom from that. Now, it gets tricky when you start saying that, and we won't have time to go into that today of what those laws meant, what they didn't. Were things still being carried over for the life of Christ? He was still setting up the kingdom of God from the very beginning, even when he gave those laws. So what does that mean? It's interesting stuff, but it's not really where we need to go today. But what we need to know is that we have this freedom and that our life is not just checking off the list of those Old Testament laws to come to completion. Does that sound familiar? Right? Galatians 5, we had a checklist of the things we should do, a checklist of the things we shouldn't do. We'll come back to it. Let's rewind just a little more. Paul, in Galatians 1, verses 3 through 5, he starts with a quick intro of himself just to let people know, hey, this is me. And then in verse 3, he says the same thing we've been saying in this series. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So when we get to the start of Paul's thought process, comes to, this is all about God, for his glory, forever and ever, amen. And as we fast forward, we wind up eventually at the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. So what we're going to do, and if you have a pen, if you want to, or pen or pencil, if you want to write this down in your bulletin, this could be helpful. We're going to do a quick little outline of Galatians. If you want to have it, it's just going to be a key point outline. It's not going to be a full and complete outline. But we're going to go through some key points, if that's interesting to you to go back and reference. And we'll hopefully build to a point that where everything will make sense, I hope. We start with this. This is all because of Christ. Galatians 1, 3 through 5. This is all because of Christ. And in verse 6, we hit Paul's frustration at these people regressing back to the law. Paul's frustration at people regressing back to the law. And that's chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And this is funny for Paul because the majority of Paul's letters are like this. Hi, oh, yeah, this is about God. And boy, you know what? You guys are doing such a great job following him. And, you know, when you do this, it just makes my heart feel so good. And you guys have done so many great things. And then eventually it gets to, you know, you could improve in these areas and that would be really great. And let me tell you why. Man, you guys are just doing a great job. But not to the Galatians, right? In verse 6, in the sixth verse of the entire thing, he says, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Strong words. As we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone's preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Okay? Paul's very frustrated because he just swept through and talked to these guys and told them about this grace and this freedom that they were living in. Right? And now these people are coming back through and saying, no, you still got to do this and this and this and this. Still got to get circumcised. Still got to follow these certain rules. And then we'll let you into this whole thing. Paul's saying, no. Move on to the next one. Trying to obey the law did not save you. Faith in Jesus did. Trying to obey the law did not save you. Faith in Jesus did. And again, that's the Galatians 2:14 through 21 that we looked at. And this is a super important background to these lists. The acts of the flesh, this fruit of the Spirit, if we're not careful, we can make these our own Christian law. Right? Paul's telling them, you know, you've been freed from that law. You've been freed from that. You know, and we can go and make this our law. Now I hold up Galatians 5 without the context of the rest of Galatians, and I go, okay, this is what I've got to do today. I've got to love. I've got to have peace. I've got to have patience. I'm not having patience. Have patience. Have patience. Have patience. Have patience. Have patience. Right? And we can, you know, knock these in. I'm going to have self-control. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this sin. I'm not going to do that sin. And we can ram ourselves and ram our heads into walls over and over again, forgetting that that is important, but forgetting what Paul's setting up here. This is about living in Christ in freedom, seeking him, following him. And out of that, we'll see, is what flows the life of Christ. Okay. Live as those free in Christ. That's the next section here. And that's from Galatians 3:21 through 26. Live as those free in Christ. Galatians 3:21 through 26. We'll read this. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under this guardian, this law. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. And that leads us to this idea. We're not just free, but we are sons and daughters of God. We're not just free, but we are sons and daughters of God. And this comes out of Galatians 4:3-7. So that outline so far, right? This is all because of Christ. Paul gets this frustration because people are regressing back to this old way of living. He's telling them, no. The law did not save you. Faith in Jesus saves you. And that is still true today as it was back then. Faith in Jesus is what saves us. And then he's saying, live as those who are free in Christ. So this is okay, so that freedom now is changing how we live a little bit, right? And it's starting to intersect with our life and our decisions and the things that we do and the things that we say, and live not just as free men and women, but live like you are sons and daughters of God. Live out of that working knowledge that you're sons and daughters of God. And then we get to the very practical, hands-on Galatians 5, right? The fruit of this life lived in freedom. Okay, we have Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and don't submit to that old yoke of slavery. Galatians 3:13-15. You're called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity from the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, watch out that you're not consumed by each other. We are free, right? We're free to do what we want, you know? And that's how we live here in America. Sometimes I am free to do whatever I want. That's why I live in America, right? But it's not necessarily that type of freedom. That's not the type of freedom we're getting at. What God is saying is, you are free to live as my child. Right? You are free to live free from the sin. Now, we're not going to do it perfectly, right? Because we know that we live in a fallen world. And next week, we're going to talk about how this is all under the umbrella of grace. Right? This exceeding, amazing, abundant grace that God gives us. But he's saying, I have given you the freedom and the freedom to live like this. The freedom to live in the understanding that I am a child of you. The freedom to even have that idea of worshiping God. The freedom to even just worship him. And that's when we get to the acts of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. After we've talked about how this is all about Christ. And how we are to obey him, right? And how we're to not live by that law, but to live freely as Jesus did. And we're to live free in Christ. And we're not just free, but we're sons and daughters. Then we get to the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, right? All of those things: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. What do we conclude? Following those fruits of the Spirit is not just about following this checklist, right? Checking these certain things off our list. Not following those other things. The list of the acts of the flesh is not just about, you know, Xing those things off because I didn't do that today, I didn't do that today, I didn't do that today. Right? It's about living under the freedom that you've been given in Christ, living as a son or daughter of the King. And out of that comes this outpouring of the life that we have. I've heard this analogy used a lot, right? Fruit is the natural outpouring of a healthy tree, right? If you have a banana tree, the banana tree is not sitting there going like, oh, I need to push out this banana. I need to get this banana out. I need to get this banana. It's like, no, well, you've got the roots that are built, right? And they're into the ground and they're getting nutrients from the soil. And, you know, the analogy works great. That soil is God and we root ourselves in God. So what do we do with this list? If we're to live by the Spirit in freedom, and we're not just to use Galatians 5 as a checklist of the things we shouldn't do or the things we should do, if it's supposed to be an outpouring of a life of faith, the question is it okay to want and desire those fruits of the Spirit? Is it okay to look at that list and still say, I want to avoid those things? Well, yes. We're not just little fruit trees walking around, right? God's given us a will. Even one of the things in the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Self-control what? To deny my flesh, to deny those things that I don't want to be a part of, that I don't want to take part in as a child of God. So you have to hold these two things in balance. We need to live in our freedom. We need to not just use this as a checklist. It's not another law. Galatians 5 is not another set of laws that we need to follow. And we don't do these, and we do these, and then we're followers of Jesus. Well, no. But they are really important. And if we want to see what a fully lived out teleos life of Christ, where we've come to completion, looks like, we can look to these and say, okay, well, this is what the fruit's supposed to look like. You know, what do I need to get there? And as we start living out that fruit, we start to realize, boy, this is how I was designed to live. And we start growing closer to the Lord. And as we grow closer to the Lord, we do what? We live by that list again. And eventually it starts becoming just an outpouring of that life with Christ, even more so than just having to tell myself, don't do this, don't do this, do this, do this. And know that it takes time, right? You guys are very young. I still consider myself very young. Don't laugh. This happens over time. We're going to talk about next week how this happens through the umbrella of grace. If you get a chance, take that outline that maybe you wrote out. Read through Galatians this week. You'll find that Paul ends it really interestingly. He talks about helping out each other and resisting temptation. He talks about doing good, resisting temptation, right? Do good, resist temptation. The two things we've talked about the last couple weeks. Talks about the law a little more, and then he ends it like this. Galatians 6:18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. And he ends it the same way he began it. This is all about God. You're living in his grace. Live as the children of God. Let's pray. God, it is such a delicate balance in our life to live freely as children of God and yet to know in the same way that there's a standard that we live by. As children of God. God, it's difficult not to make Galatians 5 a law unto ourselves, a list of things to do and not do. And it's easy on the other side to just ignore that and just to say, oh, I'm a free child of God, so I can do whatever I want. And somehow we live in tension there, God. God, grow us into maturity. God, thank you for what we're going to talk about next week, about the fact that this is all under the umbrella of grace. And that you have so much grace for the things that we do. And so much grace for the things that we don't do that we should. And yet we're to keep striving. To keep on in this long obedience throughout our life. Where we strive to become more like you. Help us not to get discouraged, God. Help us not to get discouraged at the things that are right in front of us. Maybe a sin that we feel like there's no way we can get past, or things that we're called to do that we're too scared to do or don't want to do. God, help us to allow ourselves the same grace that you give us and yet to keep going and to know that it is not about what I look like on February 12th versus what I look like on February 13th. But it's the direction you take us from February 12th on throughout the rest of our life, the direction you head us as we seek you, as we follow you, as we put you on the throne as king of our life, as we walk as sons and daughters of you. We close, God, with the words of Paul. God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen.